In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. My brothers and sisters, if I should give the sermon a theme this morning, it would be From Error to Righteousness, the Easter Way. Why have I chosen that? Because of the collect. The collect says, Almighty God, who showest to them that are in error the light of thy truth, to the intent that they may return into the way of righteousness. That is how the collect begins today. And the collect reminds us, not subtly, that we all start in the wrong place. All of us. We are not born in righteousness. We are all born into error. And unless God shows us his truth, unless God reveals himself, we would stay lost, simply. But in his mercy, he has shown us the light of his truth. Why has he shown us the light of his truth? The collect answers it. He says, to the intent that they may return into the way of righteousness. So the light isn't just for information. The light, my brothers and sisters, is for transformation. It is not given so we can see the truth and admire it from a distance. The light is given us so we can walk with it. So this is the rhythm of the Easter season. Remember, we are still in Easter. Easter, 40 days from Easter Sunday. We are still in the rhythm. Christ is risen. And that is what changes everything. Not just in heaven, but if Christ is risen, change should take place in us. The resurrection isn't just a victory for Jesus, not at all. It is a turning point for all people who follow him. Easter calls us to live as people who have been brought back from error. People walking now in righteousness. Not by our strength. We cannot do it by our strength, but only by his grace. And that is where the epistle from Peter meets us today. He addresses us as strangers and pilgrims. And that is an important identity. Who are strangers and pilgrims? It means that this world, as it is, we must remember always, is not our home. We belong to another kingdom. Our allegiance is to Christ, and so we are called to live differently. We cannot live like the world. We should not try to live like the world. We should live differently. And St. Peter urges us to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. St. Peter calls us to keep our conduct honest among the Gentiles, not just to protect our reputation, but so that others, other people, seeing our good works, might also be drawn to glorify God. They must see something in us if they are going to glorify God. So even when we are misunderstood or slandered, our lives should be such that other people are ultimately ashamed of their false charges. Then comes, my friends, something especially challenging in this, our present age. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, St. Peter says. And that doesn't mean that we should have blind obedience to every law, no matter how unjust. But it does mean that Christians should not be anarchists. We are not rebels without a cause. As long as civil authority does not force us to disobey God, we are to be peaceful people. We are to be respectful people. We are to be orderly people. Not for the sake of the authorities themselves, but for the Lord's sake. Honor the King. We honor authority because we fear God. And in a brief set of commands that feel tailor-made for our confused world, Peter says, honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the King. These are very clear, simple, and profound statements. They draw a line between Christian respect for all people and a deeper covenantal love for the church. The church is the brotherhood. When Peter refers to the brotherhood, he's simply talking about the church. Love the brotherhood. They distinguish between our reverence for God and our duty to respect earthly rulers. So in just a few words, Peter lays out what a Christ-shaped public life looks like. But as we all know, my friends, life is not easy. And that is why we also need comfort from the gospel lesson. In St. John chapter 16, Jesus is preparing his disciples for what's to come. Jesus says, a little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me. He speaks of his approaching death and resurrection, but they don't understand. The gospel says, what does he mean by a little while he shall see me, and a little while he shall not see me? The people who were asking these questions were confused. Confusion, sorrow, and fear cloud their minds. And Jesus does not rebuke them for it. He explains that their sorrow will be real, but it will not last forever. Jesus says, ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. But your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Not replaced, but turned into joy. And that, my friends, is the Easter promise. That is what the world needs to know, that there is hope. That is why the world needs to know that there's a God who gives us hope. There's a God who we should worship in thanksgiving to him. There's a God who we pay respect to. That is the Easter promise. The cross itself becomes the path to resurrection. No cross, no crown. No cross, no crown. The sorrow of the faithful is not wasted, but it becomes the very means by which joy is born. So, we need that promise today, because even in Easter time, the the world in which we live is still broken. We still grieve. We still struggle. We still feel like strangers. But Jesus Christ says, your sorrow shall be turned into joy. I want us to take that message with us when we go out to start this week. Those who still feel sorrowful, your sorrow shall be turned into joy. That is not a vague hope. It's the sure promise. It happened in the upper room 2,000 years ago. It will happen for all of us who are in Christ. All of us. So, we turn again to the collect. God shows us his light so that we may return to righteousness. God calls us out of error, not to sit in comfort, but to walk forward in faith. And God does not leave us alone. Christ is risen. The Holy Ghost is given. Grace is present. The way is open. Therefore, my friends, let us walk in it. In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.